This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. I know a guy who's younger than I, and he's got cancer. And I think I know how he got cancer, because every time that I was around the guy, or even if I drove by his house, because he lived not that far from me, and I would drive by his house and I would smell the fabric softener of his laundry. Now, and when I would meet the guy, I would smell all his cologne and his detergent. Now, if you're someone who is not sensitive to fragrance, you may be saying to yourself right now, that's crazy. You can't drive around a neighborhood and smell people's laundry. Yes, I can. It's so overbearingly, it's gross, actually. I can smell your fabric softener because you have a dryer vent, you know. Your dryer is pushing air out into the atmosphere, right? And I can smell that just by driving by your house in a neighborhood on a night that you're doing laundry. And this is why, by the way, I don't live in a neighborhood. This is one of the reasons. I don't want to hear people's parties. I don't want to smell people's laundry. None of that stuff. I don't want your pollution in my face, you see. And this is why I live out in the country, because I don't want to deal with all that garbage. But I visit neighborhoods. You know, I drive through neighborhoods from time to time when I'm visiting people and so on. So I get to smell other people's dryer sheets and laundry detergent and all their garbage. Anyway, this guy has cancer and he's dying of cancer, I've been told, which is very sad because I think it's caused by all these chemicals that the guy just bathes himself with. And here's what's interesting about this podcast and you and me and the way we interact with the world. There was a time when I was younger that I would tell people things that they don't want to hear. Like, hey, did you know you're wearing a bunch of cancer-causing poisons and you're going to die of cancer if you keep doing that? Like, there was a time when I actually used to tell people that. I haven't done that in a long time because what I learned is people want to kill themselves. You can talk to a smoker, for example, and you can tell them, hey, cigarettes cause cancer. And what's their reaction? I know that, right? They know that. They've been told that 1,000 times, probably. And it's on the cigarette advertisements. They know it causes cancer, but they want to smoke anyway. Why? Well, it's the same reason that people want to get cancer. And you may challenge me on this, but hear me out. People actually want to destroy themselves. I've come to discover that there's something dark in the human psyche where most people want to die and destroy themselves. Most people, they want to, really, die isn't the right word. They want to annihilate themselves. They want to cease to exist. And I think that a lot of what people get into, whether it's substance abuse, smoking, or like slathering on all the toxic cancer-causing cosmetics and colognes and things, or just eating themselves to death. I mean, how many people sit on a couch and eat themselves to death? And I think that, at least what I've come to realize about humanity now in my almost 50 years of living on this planet, is that many people literally want to annihilate themselves. And they use substance addiction, or they use food, or they use, you know, psychotic behavior or other means to accomplish their goal of self-destruction. And take my word, I'm not thrilled to have arrived at this conclusion about human behavior. You know, I'm not happy to realize that humanity as a whole is a suicide cult, and also human beings as individuals are self-destructive. This is not the world that I wanted to live in, you know, not the general population that I want to be around, frankly. I want to be with survivors and liberty lovers and innovators and entrepreneurs and people who want to have a bright future. Because that's the kind of life that I lead for myself. That's what I try to create for myself and as many people as I can influence in a positive direction. And yet we are surrounded in society by people who literally seek their own self-destruction. Now, I know you might find that, you might be skeptical about that idea, and you might find that to sound a little bit crazy, but here's the thing. Not all of it is conscious. So in other words, some people want to subconsciously commit suicide, even though consciously they would deny it. So I'm actually not saying that everybody consciously desires to kill themselves, but rather that in many cases there is an unconscious desire to destroy themselves or harm themselves, and they do it through chemicals sometimes, or through overeating, food, obesity, heart disease, cancer. They do it through smoking. They do it through gambling. They do it through sometimes high-risk behavior. You know, crazy sexcapades with 50 partners, maybe. You know, that's kind of a form of suicide if you think about the exposure to HIV and anal cancer and everything else, right? There's different ways to commit suicide. People find all kinds of different ways to destroy themselves. But where does this come from? Where does this come from? Well, let me bring in another piece that's actually kind of personal, but I'll share it with you because it's highly relevant here. I spent 2 years learning some, I'm going to have to say this in a general sense, I'll just call it healing arts, okay? Some sort of advanced medicine healing arts. And I'm not going to name the art or the people or the organizations or anything because that's not relevant. But what I found in this school, you could say, and this was many years ago, by the way, not recent, but what I found in this school is that almost all the other students, and we had very close friendships with the other students because it was a kind of place where there was a lot of sharing of personal experiences and a lot of emotional healing among students and so on. I mean, it was a very interesting experience. But what I found among other students is that it seems to me that at least half of them were sexually abused. And it shocked me to discover this, to hear this, because they would share this with other students. They would share this with the classroom that I was part of as well. And they would talk about their trauma of being sexually abused as a child. And that alerted me to this astonishing realization that even in our first world society, it's quite possible that up to half of all people have been sexually abused, inappropriately touched as a child, or even raped as a child, or what have you. And this shocked me to realize this because, of course, I don't have that experience. You know, I grew up in a very, very loving and very ethical, very moral family, and you know, upstanding mother and father who did an excellent job of teaching me things, taught me gardening, you know, taught me how to shoot a BB gun, by the way, you know, taught me how to build things. My dad had me doing construction when I was like, I don't know, 7, I guess, learning how to saw a board, you know, and hammer nails and things like that. Very hands-on. You know, my mom taught me how to cook my own meals before I was in the 4th grade, I think. I mean, I was doing my own laundry as a child when other children were, their parents were doing their laundry, even when they were in high school, which always shocked me. I'm like, well, you can't fold socks. You're in freaking 9th grade. What, you can't fold a pair of jeans? What's wrong with you? You can tell my health ranger-ness started early, you see. But in any case, I never had this experience of what these other students were telling me, that they were sexually abused. And there's this, what I then learned from this, from listening to people and learning about the healing process with people. And some of this that I got to observe was, I guess, a kind of therapy for some people who were really, really traumatized. And they needed healing. They needed to heal themselves before they could even begin to help other people heal, right? Because they had experienced so much trauma. But what I found a common thread in these people is that they all wanted to destroy themselves. At some level, they wanted to annihilate their very existence. As if for them, and my heart goes out to these people, by the way, you know, and it's very sad to me that people have this experience and it how traumatizing it is to them, and that this continues to happen in our society. It's very disturbing. It's very horrific, if you ask me. But it's still going on. And what it leads to is people who, even as adults, because a lot of these people were in their 40s, 50s, or even 60s, and they were still suffering this trauma that they experienced when they were 6 years old or whatever. But it leads these people, in many cases, to want to destroy themselves. And so you can literally trace back someone who's got, let's say, cancer today, someone who's dying of cancer. And in some cases, not all, but in some, you can trace it back to a sexual assault when they were 5 years old or younger or older, whatever the age is. And those experiences stay with them. They never forget. They're so traumatic and they're so bizarre. They're so nerve-wracking that memory is burned into their minds forever. And, you know, hey, perhaps you listening to this have had an experience like this as well, so you know what I'm talking about. Even though I haven't had that experience, so I can't say that I know exactly what that's like, but I've interacted with many people who have had that experience, and they tell me that it's burned into their memories, and that it not a day goes by that they don't think of that experience, and they feel demeaned by it. They feel like they have been transformed into subhumans because of that experience. Like, almost as if they were so violated that they don't even own their own bodies, that they don't feel safe inside who they are. That they, from an early age, that they felt unsafe in the world, unsure, and without value, because they weren't valued for who they are as a person. They were only valued by their assaulter for the sex organs that they had, male or female, and that was it. So it's the complete dehumanization of a person when they suffer sexual assault, especially at a very young age. And this dehumanization leads to a desire for self-annihilation. Now, I know I'm going really deep here into all this therapy and psychology and so on, but I mention all this for a reason, and it is this. It's very easy for those of us who have never suffered these things to try to tell people things like, oh, you shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't eat ice cream all day. You shouldn't eat cancer-causing hot dogs all day, and so on and so forth. It's very easy for us to say those things. But the underlying issue may be so much more complex that it's not about this person waking up and saying, gosh, I'd love to eat deadly, you know, cancer-causing, obesity-inducing ice cream and hot dogs all day today. The real issue underneath it all is that they wake up and they say to themselves that they hate their life, that they wish they were dead, that living is torture, and they feel dehumanized. And from that place, then, here comes the substance abuse or the overeating or the ice cream, the self-medication, basically, through food, alcohol, drugs, sex, addiction, whatever the case may be. And it took me a long time to realize that this is happening and that it's incredibly common. And so the answer for those of us who, let's say we have health knowledge, you do probably if you're listening to my podcast very often, you know a lot more about nutrition than other people, as I do. We have to realize that sometimes it's just not as simple as giving someone the knowledge of what is the right thing to do. They probably already know what the right thing is to do. They probably already know that smoking cigarettes is going to kill them. They already know that eating ice cream is going to cause or worsen their type 2 diabetes. They already know this stuff. We're not giving them a solution out of their desire for self-annihilation just by telling them, oh, why are you eating ice cream? You see what I mean? And actually, in some ways, in certain people, it can add to their sense of being demeaned or feeling that they have no self-worth. So in some cases, telling an individual face-to-face, hey, you shouldn't be eating that, for example, it's a judgment, and it can feel to that person almost like an echo of the sexual assault that they suffered as a child. Now they feel assaulted for what they're eating, you see? And you may be bringing up echoes of some old horrific tragedy memory that they suffered a long time ago. And so the ultimate answer here is that when we interact with people from a place of compassion, to try to help people heal, to try to impart knowledge on people so that they might live with less pain and less suffering and greater longevity and greater quality of life and so on, we cannot assume that they are in a place that allows them to be open to those suggestions. And again, this is something that took me decades to get to, because there's so many reasons why people might be consciously or unconsciously deliberately destroying themselves. And what those people need is not nutrition advice. What they need is sometimes therapy or counseling or sometimes other forms of healing. Or sometimes maybe they just need an apology from the person who assaulted them. I mean, it varies from person to person what they need. Maybe they need God in their lives. Maybe they need to surrender to Christ or whatever religion that they're involved in. Who knows? Or maybe they just need to go see a therapist and they need 50 sessions of cognitive therapy and they need to work out the stuff and come to realize that they are a valuable human being and they didn't do anything wrong and there's nothing they could have done differently to avoid it, and it's not their fault. You see, sometimes the therapy can help them heal to a place where they are then open to other information about health and nutrition and disease prevention and so on. And that is the deeper, greater truth behind all of this. And that is why today I don't talk to people directly. I don't challenge people about their health habits. Why are you eating this? And why are you wearing that cologne? And why are you smoking a cigarette? I don't challenge people on that. You know why? Because I'm wise enough to know that I can't know where they are in their journey of spiritual development. They may be ready. They may not be ready. Chances are, if they're ready, they would have already made that change themselves, right? Is there anybody in our society today who doesn't know that smoking cigarettes is bad for them? So the reason they haven't stopped smoking, just to use one example, is not because they don't have the knowledge of it. It's because they're not in the spiritual place, the place of maturity, to have enough courage or faith in themselves or enough self-discipline to drop that habit and take that next step in the journey of their own personal healing, you see. And the same thing is true with food. You see somebody eating food that is extremely, you know, toxic. Maybe they're obese and they're eating something that causes obesity. And you can look at it as an outsider and you can say, well, this is obvious. You're obese because you're eating this stuff that causes obesity. Why don't you change? But from their point of view, they're not trying to become obese. Again, they are trying to destroy the experience of being who they think they are, which is a distortion that's been caused by trauma. And until they come out of that distortion and can iron out those wrinkles in their own self-image and see the world in a fresh, healing kind of way, then all the people in the world walking by and saying, don't eat ice cream, don't eat corn dogs, don't eat Pop-Tarts, doesn't make any difference. So just keep all this in mind. It'll help you interact with people in a way that is more compassionate. And frankly, I'm long past caring if what someone thinks of me. I don't care what someone thinks of me, but I want to help them heal in a way that is in alignment with their spiritual journey. If I had a magical way to just like wave a magic wand over people and just heal them instantly, I would do that all the time. But I don't have that magic wand. I have information. And yet I've come to learn that people aren't always ready for that information. And so what I do, and what I might encourage you to at least think about doing, is to always be ready to answer questions. People want to ask you. They ask you, hey, what do you think about eating ice cream? Is it healthy or unhealthy? Then they've invited you to offer them a little snippet of information. And you can answer that with the knowledge you have. You can say, oh, well, guess what? You know, refined sugar and milk fat combined, probably not that good for diabetes. You know, you can offer information, but you don't have to assert it as a personal attack to people, especially when they're not in a place that they're where they would need to be able to absorb and integrate that information. And by the way, don't assume that just because someone is biologically old enough to, you think they're an adult, you think they're in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, you think, this person's mature, they can hear this, they can handle this. No. There are people living in bodies of 65-year-olds who are still, they still have the maturity of a 9-year-old. And some of that's because of the trauma, by the way. So never assume the spiritual maturity of someone based on their chronological age. There may be a correlation, but it certainly is not a perfect fit. A lot of cases that would be exceptions to an assumption in that case. So there you go. I hope that's been helpful. And I've shared a little bit of personal information too about how I move through the world. I try to be an encyclopedia of knowledge for people who want it, but I don't assume that people want information in this moment right now, that they need this information. No. And for the most part, I look around society, most people want to destroy themselves, and they're just finding ways to do it. And frankly, from a spiritual level, who am I to judge that path isn't what they are supposed to be doing, that it's their life? I'm here if they want some help, but it is not proper from a spiritual point of view to jump in and try to change that person's eating habits or exercise habits or smoking habits if they haven't invited you in to do that. So think about this. This is very serious, very deep topics. And also think about your own life and think about your own habits. If you've got habits that are self-destructive, you might go see a therapist about it. You might try to understand what's underneath that. You might try to uncover something maybe in your childhood, in your history, that wounded you in some way that has led to these behaviors. And in that, you might be able to find a whole new kind of healing yourself. And yes, a qualified therapist can be extremely helpful in many of these things. So just keep all that in mind. A lot of information here today. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Adams, Health Ranger. Read my website if you'd like at naturalnews.com. Thanks for listening.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
I know you have a lot of choices of where to get your superfoods and supplements, personal care products, and so on. To find all these solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, M-A-G-A. healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, as in Make America Great Again. You'll find hundreds of solutions there that can enhance and help protect your health. Again, that's healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. At the Health Ranger Store, we are a pro-liberty, pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-America manufacturer and direct distributor. We sell direct to customers, offering extraordinary values on these products. Lab tested and verified, we test all of our products for bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, much more. Also glyphosate and herbicide and other pesticides and herbicides are being added to our testing procedure to make sure that we bring you safe, verified, clean supplements that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, Amazon.com is a joke compared to us. The Wall Street Journal even did a story exposing the thousands of contaminated, illegal, banned, toxic supplements and products that Amazon sells. We wouldn't sell that because we have ethics, we have morality, we're honest, we have integrity as a manufacturer and a provider of these products. Check us out, healthrangerstore.com. Over 700 different products are available right now. High-end supplements, superfoods, personal care products, even fragrance-free products that are eco-friendly for your home, such as laundry detergent, body soap, dishwasher detergent, and many other products. You'll find just an incredible assortment at healthrangerstore.com. And most importantly, your purchases there help support our ongoing efforts to spread the message of liberty and freedom and pro-life, respecting life in all its forms, and having a nation and a world that operates with ethics and morality, so that we might have a sustainable human civilization, not one that's collapsing in destitution and suffering, which is what the radical left and the communists want to bring about. So support us, and we support humanity. healthrangerstore.com. I thank you for your support.